say as well.
Yeah. It's very easy to kind of get you there. So, first, go around, say your name, your shop, and where you're located.
My name is John. It's our shop is Vive La Velo, and we are in just outside of Hull in East Yorkshire in the UK.
Okay.
My name is Doug. I'm also at Vive La Velo, just outside of Hull.
My name is Jurgis. I'm from Velocino shop in Vilnius, Lithuania.
You see, you've got to have Velo in your shop name for it to be good.
Oh.
We have a city.
Isn't that right?
Yeah, it is.
We have a cycling club in Oklahoma City that we help run. It's been a non-profit for almost 40 years.
Yeah.
And it's OKC Velo.
So that's a good one.
That's a good one.
I mean, if you've got Velo and Lab.
It's, the Lab part, easy to spell. The Velo part,
Velo Lab.
Very cultural.
Velo Lab.
I worked for a shop called.
I'm going to get that www.com Velo Lab now.
Yeah, I worked for a shop called Velo Velo, so it's double Velo.
No, that's too far. Velo Velo's too far.
Like, but then
one
you,
Velo.
Calling out that chai tea.
Then you bolt out the.
Chai tea?
Yeah. And you bolt out the love in that.
Okay.
And it's like Velo Velo, but you love Velo, and it's great.
Cool.
But it all revolves around the bicycle, I think. Even though it's called Ponas Dviratis, the other shop that I worked, it's Mr. Bicycle. It's still about the same thing in the name, isn't it?
Do you guys seem like he sounds a little Irish to you right now?
Hush. No. That's
his microphone was inadvertently soaked in Irish whiskey.
That's it. Smells more Irish.
My smell, he definitely smells Irish.
Yeah.
No, I spilled my whiskey on his microphone before we got started here.
Yeah.
If
I think that's just it's called a technical difficulty.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yeah.
Well, you all three have been here at Villiers.
Yep.
Yes. Here in Italy.
Yep. Yeah.
So, for each of you, have you been to Italy before? Or is it your first time?
No.
First time, or you?
No, I've been to Italy last year in the race. I've been as a tourist.
Okay. You've been a racer as well.
I've been as a mechanic in a team in 24-hour world championships.
Oh wow. What's the name of that event? Where was it located?
It's a Wembo organization event. It was held in Finale Ligure. And there's I was supporting two solo riders, male and female.
Is that a mountain bike?
Yeah, it's a mountain bike event. And it's done in solos, pairs, quads and eights.
That's very sweet. We have an event called Palo Duro, which is west of Oklahoma City in New Mexico. It's kind of in a big canyon, but it's a large marathon. It's not world championship, but it's a large marathon event that's structured very similar. So you can mechanic for that. So you have 24 hours.
Yeah, I've been there the second time already. It's an interesting event with a very different dynamic, even though it's in loops, but it's 24 hours, and the result starts coming in only at the 11th hour.
Oh, wow. So you're not quite sure where everyone stands until those start coming in.
Yeah. I mean, the results start coming in, but you don't see your actual place and your competitors at the very late hour. As it's, most of us are strong for 4, 6, 8 hours. But then,
90 minutes, in my case.
Yeah.
So, have you been to Italy before?
I've been, I think this is my third or fourth time to Villiers.
Okay.
I've been here a few times. It's, always good to come.
Always good. Food is pretty decent.
Food is good. If you like pasta, I love pasta, so that's good.
Tonight was pasta.
Yeah. Meat. Bit of everything.
Meat.
Yeah.
So much meat.
Random sorbet in the middle of the meal, which I had no...
I mean, when do you have your sorbet? At the end?
I mean, if we're going to have it, it's ice cream. It's usually orange flavored.
Yeah.
It's out of Baskin Robbins.
Yeah. No, it's good. It's always good.
Thank you.
Yeah.
And have you?
I have not been before.
This is your first time. All right. So what do you think? Does it resonate with you as another part of the world you've been in before? Does it seem similar anywhere, or does it seem unique in its own
way? I've never been anywhere like this.
Really?
Okay. Yeah. We're just halfway up a mountain, aren't we? I've never stayed halfway up a mountain before. So there's so many trees. It's a bit crazy, really.
It is. Well, for me, I didn't know what I expected, but it's...
this is your first time
to Pavilion? First time in Europe.
Yeah.
Really?
Across the Atlantic.
Is
Europe's
it?
Yes, it's yeah. not all like this. It's completely
no,
different.
That's my 100%
expectation
that England's just like Austin.
Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Yeah, we don't have any trees.
No, I don't believe that. But... it's very similar to Colorado.
Yeah.
And the larger mountain ranges, the
yeah.
big trees, the pine trees,
yeah.
Or New Mexico and the Taos area.
Mm.
It's very similar aesthetically. And even the kind of people you find, you'll be all like the touristy locations, and then you get around people who go there, and it's very different. And that's what it feels like if you're riding through a mountain bike on the gravel road.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
Yeah.
And even as we drive a car, it's that familiarity of people who are just living life in a mountain environment, and it's very, very similar to those places I've seen in the U.S.
We're just passing through, but they'll be here tomorrow and the day after and day after.
Yeah. You find it like that kind of mountain.
They're still living their normal life.
In high plateau.
Yeah.
Well, even like during lunch, we open up the doors here, we're having lunch, but we also smell the manure.
Yeah,
there's a horse.
The farms
yeah.
and the cattle and stuff nearby. I live in a very rural environment, so I'm like, oh.
Home.
This is an everyday place for a lot of people.
Yeah.
All right. So we've got this chance to see some things we can't talk about.
Some new bikes or not new bikes? Yeah.
So
it all looks good.
So the things we can talk about on the wheel here that you've seen, you appreciate. What's just one thing that you want to that you would mention that you see as something that you're excited about? Because there's lots of things that they have not updated recently. Maybe they were updated, but what's one thing?
I mean, it's twofold. I mean, there's. As a cyclist, you just like seeing new bikes.
Yeah.
Working in the bike industry, I think everybody who works in the bike industry, everybody I meet is a cyclist first, and they work in a bike shop second.
Yeah.
It's that.
Really, if you aren't that, you don't last.
You're not in it for the money.
Let's
definitely.
It's
value.
Yeah. So we've got to come to Italy this few days, and we've seen bikes before other people get to see them, so we know what's coming for the rest of 2024. Yeah. Has a bit of a British flavour to it, but we can't say anymore. No. Yeah. But I think the not normally when you get to come to see the bikes for next year, there's 12, 15, 20 bikes you're going to see, and normally you see one or two that you really like, but then there's always one or two you go, oh, why have they done that, it's not my cup of tea. But if I'm honest, this year everyone I've saw, it's like I'd have that one,
right.
So yeah, I just need to not tell my wife that I'm going to buy 10 new bikes and then we're all good.
I mean, what you see as you come here, and we're all levels in the industry.
Yeah.
You realize I'm starting to like these bikes more than it's reasonable.
Yeah.
Like I have to go to like my math brain and think, okay, what can I afford to bring in? Just kind of breaking my brain a little bit. And that's what I like about coming here. You see the same version, the same passion. Like they're in this business because they're in the cycling too.
There's a full Swiss mountain bike that I don't need. I need to replace my car at the minute, but I've seen that full Swiss mountain bike.
Yeah.
I want the full Swiss mountain bike.
That one's not under embargo.
Is that one not under embargo? Okay.
That.
Yeah.
Okay,
well, that's the Ertomax. That is. Yeah.
That's
yeah.
You know, the in our environment, we in Oklahoma, a lot of the technical, we have to pedal through.
Yeah.
We don't downhill.
Yeah.
So your 140 bikes, you just pedal strike.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But it is so rocky that having something a little bit more than 100 suspension, having a 120, has been very popular.
Mm.
So the Ertomax coming out, I've been sending that to all my outside guys. Guys, you gotta check this one out.
Today's 120 is a lot more capable than a 120 travel from 3-4 years ago.
They've worked in the gym, the suspension, the way it reacts is really responsive, but it has more fitness.
A lot of guys ended up buying like a 140, 150, 160 travel mountain bike, but they need to travel to a location where they can use it properly. So that's an all-day job. But most of us don't have a whole day to devote to going mountain biking. You've got 2 hours, 3 hours that you've got away from the family.
I mean, we've all had, I don't know if you've had, but I've had customers come in and they've watched a lot of videos, which is awesome because they're loving bikes. They see the 160, the 180, 200 travel bikes, and they want that.
Mm.
And I always just tell them I have a 90% reviews. you need to have a bike that you can ride where you are 90% of the time. And if it's only 10% of the time, just rent a bike when you're there.
Yeah.
You don't need that bike where you are because you can't ride. So I don't know if you guys do that or not, but I always find the cooler, like, okay, that's like sending it on big jumps on that bike. I'm like, but I don't want to send it on a 20-foot gap.
But when you get a customer,
you don't need that bike.
You don't need that bike.
No,
that's a one bike.
When a customer comes in store who's looking for a new mountain bike, though, they are influenced by the numbers. I'm old enough to remember when digital cameras came out, and it was like, well, this one's 3 megapixel. Well, this one's 6 megapixel, so that's going to be better than the 3 megapixel. Anyway, the number 6 million is more than 3 million, so that must be better. And we've got that with how much travel you've got. A customer will go, well, that's 140, that's 120. So that 140 is going to be better. You're like, well, where you're riding it, what you're doing with it. That's the difference.
Right. All right, for you, what's the bike, what's the thing you've seen here? First time in Italy, but also looking at the bikes, the line, the things you can talk about, what's one thing that stood up to you?
I can talk about.
There's a lot of cool stuff.
Don't talk about that bike.
It's got to be zero SLR.
Zero SLR?
Still. So we've got them in the shop anyway, we've got plenty of them. And I walk past that every single day. That is my next bike. It's a stunning bike. Yeah, that's a lightweight one. So the Falante looks fantastic. And I think there's definitely some stuff coming with that that's going to improve the way it looks. But I still really like the look of that Zero SLR. That's the one.
And for you, what's one thing that stood out for you this week, these couple of days?
I'm yet to try it out tomorrow, but as soon as I saw it, the Urta Hybrid, I already want it.
Yeah.
I want a full sus with a motor, even though I don't have where to ride it at home.
Yeah.
But I want it, and I like the colorways, I like how it looks. And I'm really eager to ride it tomorrow.
And it's really well done. And what I didn't realize that was a test of special updates and the lowest they'll go in suspension is about 140 pounds. So it's a trouble.
It
does have bigger suspension, a little heavier frame. If it's carbon, it's a little bit heavier. As I was riding the bike for the day, I was like, did you say
we're in
a hybrid?
The hybrid.
The hybrid. So when they were in a hybrid, I realized I was able to body hop with it. I was able to like touch and go with.
It didn't even feel heavy.
No, you could actually ride it like a mountain bike.
Yeah.
I kind of forgot that it was.
See, that's the.
Like that part of it, because a lot of times if it's skilled at riding, you want to be able to move the bike, you know how to move the bike. And that's been the one limitation for a lot of these bikes.
Yeah.
Because they're so heavy, you have to just stay planted. You can't get up and move around and have the agile. But there's a hybrid. But you're going to really enjoy the ride. Mauro is going to take you on a ride. He's going to show you some dance games. He's going to give you a lower back massage. It's going to be
incredible. Nice.
A lot of coffee stops.
There is a lot of coffee stops.
I'm also going to do what I did today. I'm going to drop back so I could descend faster and to chase back to the group to really test out the most.
You need to leave quite a bit of distance. Today there was there was a lot of. I waited a bit, but you're still catching up to a few people. It's it surprised me that you wanted
gravel, very loose.
Well, you ride gravel. I rode fixed gear gravel before it even was cool.
Fixed gear. So you were like, you're so cool, you weren't cool. That's the ultimate cool.
That's beyond cool.
We didn't have any other bikes. So.
Is your mullet growing in right now? Because that's how cool you are.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's the whole thing, is some of the gravel events around where I am, they'll have a barber there. Anyone that will let them, they will give them a full-on like mullet, like shave the side of their head, have their hair on top, long hair out the back, and then they'll go and do the race with it.
The thing with the e-bike is, it surprised me that you're younger and obviously a lot fitter than I am, and you were saying you want the e-bike, the Urta Hybrid.
Yeah.
And today I rode that bike, and I've not wanted an e-bike before, but it does give you a totally different ride. It's not it allows you to ride places that you, a lot of the climbs that you did on that, that you'll do tomorrow on the ride, and maybe 25, 30 minute climbs if you did them on a normal bike, but you do one, two of them, and they're quite a tough climb. You'd probably be, you know, done. You do that, do the descent, and then you, that would be the, but on the e-bike, you can do the first climb, the second climb, and you're looking for the third and fourth climb.
Yeah.
So exactly. Instead of it being a 2 hour ride, the e-bike allows you to do like a 4 hour ride, yeah, or a 6 hour ride. And I think that's the, we still have a lot of e-bikes, and it tends to be too, I'd say the older generation that are maybe not as fit, and they're looking for something to extend their riding. Whereas the younger guys are getting something just to, it's not that they're not fit enough to ride, they are, it's just, it allows them to ride longer for the same energy. And I think that if you can ride the bike longer for the same energy, that's a plus.
Or similar.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Like I, in 2021, e-bikes were very slow to come along. Especially performance e-bikes, like Turbo Hybrid or Velocity Hybrid. Like, for the performance athletes, they were just riding the performance bike. They did not want to have that. So I rode a special on the Trio. And what I found, like, on wattage, like, for me, a normal endurance ride, well, at that time, if I rode a normal endurance ride with our group, I would do 220 to 240 average watts. And with the Trio, I would average, like, 170, 175. So it was easier, especially in the hills, but I was still putting in some wattage work that was quantifiable, right? So it wasn't like it was like shutting off.
No.
You're still getting some work in enough that you feel like you're doing something. There's a bit of a priority for that in riding bicycle. You want to feel like you're, like it's you doing.
Yeah.
And what I like about the approach with Billy Air, they didn't want to call it an e-bike, it's an e-bike. It's just a hybrid. Which means they're assisting in your experience, but it's not taking over. And that's what it felt like today on the hybrid. It wasn't taking over. It was assisting, like,
If you plotted like the power file for a ride on a normal bike and an e-bike, your normal bike would have peaks of 600, 800 watts or whatever. But the e-bike just takes the high points off. So you're getting a more aerobic, you're doing an exercise and it's more aerobic. So instead of having, it's those where you've got anaerobic that the fatigue kicks in.
Yeah.
So if the e-bike allows you to take that, reduce that fatigue level, then you're going to ride longer. One of the things where we are, we sell quite a few like road-based hybrid bikes, your straight bar road-based one. There was a guy who lived in the village where we are, and he was in his mid-60s. The doctor told him to do some exercise, and he had a normal bike, and he was riding 8 miles around the village, and he came to us, and he's like, I want to ride further, but whichever way I go out of the village, I've got a really big hill to go up that I know I can't get up. So he bought an e-bike, and he goes out now and does 30-mile rides. So he went from doing 8 miles. He's not a cyclist. He's not a, like, he didn't come from a cycling background, or he's never competed, or so it was just an exercise to him. It was a tool that allowed him to exercise. But now he'll go out of his village. He'll do 30-mile rides. He says, I don't care which way the wind's blowing. If it's a backwind out, when I turn around, I put the power on, and that gets me back. And he said, I know that I can get up the hill to get back to my home. And so it sort of completely changed what he does. He can go out and ride. Yeah, yeah, yeah. From 8 miles around his village, he now does 35, 40-mile rides, and allows him to go in like a 15-mile radius of where he lives. So, fair play. Yeah, yeah.
Money doesn't matter. You're just putting
it
pure
dream.
You can't have one.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with this. I mean, is it a dream road bike? Is it a dream road bike? Is it a dream mountain bike?
It's biased. Yeah, well, I need one of everything. Probably a Rave that fits 50mm tires.
A Rave with 50mm.
Well, that fits 50mm because you don't need 50 all the time or up to that.
The Rave is good.
The Rave
SLR. Yeah. Well, with GRX DI 212, which is not out yet, but I don't know. lightweight side, but they don't make gravel ones. Something light.
Yeah.
I don't care about the grind. Yeah, just. But I really, really like the ride so far. I've done not that many rides because it was I did Tour of Lithuania, 3-day race and then championships. And now it's pure gravel after this Villiers event. But otherwise, it's a great bike. It as we were talking on the bus, I read some reviews. I ordered the bike and then I read some reviews. And I got scared a little bit, as it's, yeah, kind of this, kind of that, not fast enough, not nimble enough, not that, or whatever. But when I got it, stock with aluminium wheels, Campagnolo e-car, was not a fan of it also. Well, in the first, but I tried it and I loved it at the first very ride. The bike surprised me as fast, nimble, exactly what I wanted from a gravel bike, to be feeling close to my road bike, just be capable off-road. And the e-car, I was riding Rival 111 before, and the extra two gears with that mixed road off-road gearing, and it feels really good. I don't like the levers, they're crap.
On the e-car?
Yeah.
They're very
cheap.
Is that another way of saying crap?
Yeah.
Well, you know, we don't, in the US, we really don't see pretty much at all.
No.
Yes, that's not a problem.
So it's only like shopping where I just thought the bike that has that shipping system on it. But one of my mechanics, when we bought it earlier, he got and he ordered all camping wheels, like super record. So we almost want to put like the flag of Italy on it. So it's rim brake, because he's a rim brake.
Nothing wrong with rim brake.
Nothing wrong with rim brake.
No.
It still works really well.
No.
But that was his dream bike, and he was able to get that.
None of us died who rode rim brake. We're all here.
We all still got stuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
All right, your dream bike. It didn't work really good. It doesn't have to be a dream. It was really a dream. Your dream
bike. No, it's a Villiers though.
Okay.
Zero SLR.
Velvet. Zero SLR?
No, actually, Infinitamente. Uh-huh. So you can have the bar painted the same color as the frame.
What's
the velvet red.
Velvet red?
Yeah.
But having the bar velvet?
Yeah, bar velvet red as well.
Oh, that would it's be... It's
amazing. Seat post?
I don't know if it does seat. I think it does.
Can you remember fingers? Got custom paint.
Yeah.
White.
White saddle, white bar tip? White hoods?
Definitely not white hoods.
Oh, yeah.
We're going Juris 12 speed though. DI. 100%. TRXs. TRX Ultra 50s. It's a bit deep for that bike.
Yeah. You're like, this is mine, so I'm going to do it.
Yeah.
All right, you're
Can I have two? Okay. Can I talk about... you can't.
That's why you don't say favorite.
No. Yeah. We had a conversation about American freedom and right of choice and all that. So surely I can choose two.
Second Amendment to have 10 bikes.
Yeah. I'm sure there's an amendment where I can choose two.
Here's what I'll say. We talk about two bikes.
Okay.
But whichever one you talk about first, that's your favorite.
No. That's,
I'll and then we're going to cut you off for the second one as well.
Yeah, but you're American, so one of the ones I mentioned you'd probably like. I've got a few bikes, but yeah, Jorge mentioned that the Villiers Rave SLR, I've got one of them, and it is a stunning, stunning bike. I've got two sets of wheels. I've done 300-kilometre rides on it with 1,700... Yeah, 17,000 foot of climbing with a one-by system. It's fantastic. I do gravel rides on it. I couldn't walk after that. But I've got another bike. I mean, that is if you had to have one. But thank God we live in a world where we don't have to have one bike. That would be the.
So the runner-up is.
I've got an old Calfee Tetra Pro, which I got off eBay for £232 for the frame set that I've built up. And Le Monde Road 1 in 91, so it's got to be all right.
Yeah.
And I've got that. And
your terms
are accepted. You see, I knew we'd come round in the end. If that wasn't an American brand, would you have still said the same thing?
I just want to connect with people. If it's something you like so much, you can't avoid saying it, and you want to hear about it. That's awesome.
It's that, I think the thing is, it doesn't matter how much a bike costs. It's that if you've got a bike that every time you ride it, you look down and you go, that's why this is a nice ride, because I'm on that bike. That's the one. So it's not the price, it's not the brand, it's not anything else. It's you enjoy the ride. It's the thing that it's the machine that gets you where you want to go, and you enjoy the ride, and that's it. And don't measure it, don't care how fast it is or what your average speed is.
You're just explaining my sales strategy to consumers.
Yeah.
That's exactly what I'm telling people. Like, whether you like it, just try it on, color. It doesn't matter the group says the price, but let's just try it first. Do you like it? If you like it, you're probably gonna ride it more, enjoy it more, and bring more friends into cycling also.
I've just realised that I'm the oldest person at this table.
These four tables.
Yeah.
I don't think we need that one.
Yeah.
I don't think we needed that one.
Well, he definitely needs it.
Look, okay. he spilled his drink over three tables, so with four tables got a chance.
I got a little frantic pulling on the wires. My dream bike.
Go on.
I have a Fonte SLR, but I'm late to the game.
You can only have one, remember?
Only one.
You can only have one.
This is about paint.
I can have two, you only have one.
What's late?
I'm late to the Unicode project. Oh. And the previous one that was from the artist that was Japan that had the clip.
Oh, the one before, yeah, I remember that. Yeah.
I really like the style of the paint on that frame. So it would be the Fonte SLR, but it would be. And I already have my preference in group set and wheels, which I found out is not very popular.
Go on.
Ram red axis.
We sell it.
It pisses me off sometimes.
The Z404 hookless.
I'm all into that as well.
Wheels with the new Victoria Next tires, 32 on
them. 32s?
Well, I'm massively overweight right now, so I just want something that's smooth until I get filling it. So I'm just going, and you know what? We actually tried to install the Victoria 24 and 26s and 28s on the Zip.
You were only allowed to put 28, 30, 32s on.
Well, we couldn't even get the 28s on.
I've got them on my hookless rims.
All right. On zips?
No.
Okay. I don't know if it's the interior width that makes it difficult. And I've never backed down.
Oh, but they're wide, aren't they?
I like a tire that's hard to install because I'm like...
That's going to set up tubeless fine.
You're running tubeless, aren't you?
That's, yeah.
I just want to be defeated. I'll start sweating. I'll get it. Let's go. Like, I'm getting this tire off here. And the 3032 were the only ones I felt like I wasn't going to like actually cause damage. Now, maybe I was, you know, I've not installed every tire in the world, but I felt like it was a little bit challenging. But they also just came out because they had a
the Pro.
And then they had a tubeless version of that tire.
Yes.
They just went with a new model. It's both. So yes. I'm wondering if they had a little bit of feedback and maybe that would be. Anyways.
The new Pro, though. That. So I bought my next like a week before the launch of the Pro, and I'd have bought the Pro. I'm absolutely pissed off about that.
Well,
companies should stop making new products.
Oh, just tell me it's coming.
Yeah, yeah. Well, like, there's that.
Just let me know.
It's so nice. You're like,
yeah. So that's your okay. So what's the bike that you sold that you wish you'd never sold?
So when I was racing a lot in 2014 through 2016,
yeah.
I had a Tarmac SL5.
Right.
And like the fourth ride, I was leading a slower group ride and someone crashed in front of me. And I stopped in time, the first time I did not, and they cracked the frame. So I had it custom painted with the colors of my bike shop.
Yeah.
And that's what I did most of my, in the US, I was in category 2.
Right.
And so I did a lot of road and criteria, and that bike was the bike that was with me through all of that. I set it up one bike, because criteria was really what I wanted to do more than anything. So it was a SRAM one bike with a 52 in the front and 1128 in the back. If we were going uphill, I wasn't going to win anywhere else. And I had it for a long time. I was thinking maybe I'd give it to my son when he got a little bigger. But there was a guy at our shop that was looking for a bike, and I just had it. It had a it sitting for a while because I started transitioning to other bikes in the shop. Because I find if you work in the shop or you own the shop, what you ride is a lot of what you recommend.
Yes,
you ride what you sell.
They don't understand the finances, but like, if you ride it, why should I buy it?
Yeah. No.
So I always just find I felt the mutant on the Ford, that hasn't quite sold, and as soon as I'm on it, everyone sees it. So I started doing that, and then I was just sitting there, and I let this guy, I just sold it to him for a Ford Gourmet.
Yeah.
But I miss it, because it rode really well. I had it set up just how I liked it. I never had a cab ride on it.
Mm.
And I wish I liked it. What about you? When you sold,
it's a bit random. I used to have a Surly Karate Monkey. It was a 29er, fully rigid.
Yeah.
It was set up as a... Hang on. In the UK, we have shit winter, so you have your road bike and you have a winter bike. But that Surly, I set it up as a deep winter bike. You know, and you've got to create another category, deep winter bike. So it had an Alpine hub gear in it, rigid forks. Yeah, it's fantastic. But I don't fucking know. I sold it. I don't know why. Yeah, it's like because the new Karate Monkey is different. It's a plus bike now. It's different. It's different.
It's,
and it's like
now, yeah.
Yeah, that's the one. The best thing about it was because you could tinker with it. It's like you could set it up with a derailleur if you wanted or a single speed. I did have it as a single speed mountain bike for a while, then put an Alpine in it, and it's just you could change it as you wanted, and we all tinker with bikes because we're kids really, so that's part of it, yeah. And you want to make it yours.
Yeah.
It's like if you buy a stock bike, it's, well, somebody else has got that.
Yeah.
I don't want my riding is different from them. Yeah. So if I do that for me,
yeah,
that's what I want. So
have you had that experience yet where you got rid of a bike you wish you would have held on to?
Yeah. So I had a giant TCR SL, so it's an alloy frame. Where it was like the lightest aluminium I've ever made. It was just polished aluminium with white decals. It was stunning.
They didn't make many of those.
They didn't.
No.
Do you remember it?
Yeah.
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 So, I got hit by a car and I stopped riding on the road for a bit. I only rode mountain bikes.
Sorry,
and,
that shouldn't
but
have
I had
to
that bike and it was just sat there for months and months and months. It had Ultegra on it, 11 speed. It had Mavic Serum Elite wheels. It was fucking stunning.
Yeah.
And after like 6 months of not riding it, I was like, I should sell that on. I'd already bought a mountain bike and started riding mountain bikes. That was that now.
I'm over this now.
Yeah, so I sold it.
I came back around.
And then probably a year later, I started riding my mountain bike on the road. I just wanted to be a roadie again. But I'd got rid of them all. They were all gone, but that was the one that I actually regret selling.
What about you? Any bikes you got rid of that you regret being, like you thought
that? Well, that's pretty much why I don't sell bikes, and our two people household has seven or eight bikes in total.
Oh, wow.
I do have a BMX that I just built up from my old and my friend's old parts. I used it once, but I can't sell it. I'd rather give it away to some kid rather sell it. But I miss one fixed gear bike that I spared for parts.
And then you said you really started out a lot on fixed gear and kind of transitioned to different kinds of bikes.
Yeah, well, I started out as a BMX rider, I guess, and then fixed gear bike came into my life when my friends started making fun of me riding single speed with brakes on. They're like, what are you doing? You know,
well, that was right as well, yeah.
Yeah.
They should have done.
Fixed gear is the thing. It's like, okay, I tried that. That's crazy, but yeah, I tried it and it was really awesome. Easy, simple, cheap, convenient, zen, everything. Also. She's everything.
He still wants to be in the podcast, but he's not allowed. That's why.
Yeah, one of the bikes that I've split for parts, I kind of miss. And that's why I don't sell bikes. I'd rather keep them.
Yes.
I'd rather lend them to friends. I got a Rev. I lent my old Rondo to my friend, just like have it until I decide what to do with it. And apparently that was the bike that my girlfriend liked the most. And she's like, what are you going to do with it? I'm probably selling it. I don't know. I need to replace it. Yeah, but that's the one I like the most. You can't sell it. No problem.
We won't sell it.
Okay. I'm not selling it.
Decision made.
Yeah.
I decided to, you know, when you sort of got that many bikes and you're like, See, you decide that you've not got enough space, so you like you count up how many bikes you've got.
You make more space.
Yeah. But you've got to sort of have an inventory first before you can sort of right. I cut that. So I counted up. It's like right. I've got 10 bikes. That 10 bikes is all right. That's the limit. Right. I counted up. I've got 11. It's like okay. I'm gonna. 10's a nice round number. You know, it's even. Yeah. It's like that's a. If you go above 10, there's no ceiling. You've got no stopping point. Yeah.
15 is a good stopping point.
So I counted up. I've got 11. Right. That one. I'm gonna sell the wheels. I'll put the frame in the rafters. I'll do this. I'll do that. Right. No. Yeah. We've all been
it's
there. We're all friends. We're all friends here. Yeah. We know how it works.
Yeah.
So I did that. I dismantled that one, and I think I sold another one. And so you're like, right, count it up. I've still got 11. So it was two bikes that I just not counted in the first in the first thing. You're like, fuck. I know. It's like the worst thing is, it's like every time I come, I don't take my house keys when I ride to work, so I ride home, and then my wife comes out and opens the side gate for me to come in. It's like, so every time I come in, she goes, is that a new bike? No, you've fucking seen this every time I come home this week. Like, it's not a new bike. And obviously I've got maybe 10, 12 bikes that I use sort of. I use one week and another. Yeah. And it's like, every week she's like, is that a new bike? Like, no. I mean,
there's a funny meme I've seen all the time.
Look at the mud.
A guy saying, my greatest fear is if I die, my wife sells my bikes for the price I paid
before. Yeah. Yeah.
No, it's worth so much more than that.
I've got no problem because I'll be dead then, and yeah, I just don't know. the lie's gone, you see.
Well, gentlemen, thanks for coming
on to our podcast. Yeah.
I love connecting with everyone here in the passion.
Thanks for having us. Yeah.
So, this is the third episode here in Villiers Camp at Villiers. The English speaking camp.
Yeah.
When I first heard, I thought everyone would be their first one. And then I realized the English speaking camp is for all the languages that Villiers just can't speak.
No,
English is a second language for a lot of different people.
I've even heard American spoken here. Sorry, American or American?
Well, you know what?
There's a story there.
How much pride you have. But I do appreciate you all taking a minute to.
No problem, mate.
That's cool.
Yeah.
Thanks for that.